is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven.
Be seated.
The only other time that I've ever stood at this pulpit was when Jerry Rushford presented me with a plaque that hangs today in my office because it was going to do a prayer. Mike, I can't imagine what kind of an award I'm going to get for doing a 90-minute sermon. I am really looking forward to the steering wheel and the wheels. Don't you love right now? I used to not enjoy life because I was trying to get to the next whatever we're going to do. And I learned from God to like all the time. And I want to encourage you to like who you are, where you are, what he's doing with you. I'm here tonight to encourage you that you're fascinating because your God is fascinating. Okay? I'm looking good, aren't I? James chapter 1 is my assignment, beginning in verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. I get to talk about the magnificent obsession. I get to do it. I love it. I love the idea. I wasn't planning to go to church when I got big. I was not going to bother with that. I was going to be a baseball star. Mrs. Stark was our counselor in high school, a class of 90, in my class, and she called us in one by one when we were juniors in high school and said, "What do you want to do with your life?" I couldn't wait for my turn. And I went in and I sat down. Now, Mrs. Stark was a very elderly lady. I want you to understand this. She was very old-fashioned. She wore shoes that had open toes, and she sort of walked like this, sort of funny, I thought. And I figured up this week, I think she was about 45. I owe her an apology. She said, "And what would you like to be? What do you want to do?" I said, "I want to play baseball with the St. Louis Cardinals." She said, "Oh, I don't know if I'd know how to do that." And I said, "Well, all right, I want to be a stand-up comedian." She said, "I don't know if I'd know how to do that either." Right now, we're 0 for 2. She doesn't know how to help me at all. And I just want to say to you that God is so exciting that he lets me play baseball with the St. Louis Cardinals, and once in a while, we'll laugh. But it's just a fascinating life that we get to have because of the magnificent obsession of what we've just sung about. Thank you, sir, with three first names. It was just really, really good. I just wanted to say something funny. I want to tell you about God working, because when I was in preaching school, I wanted to watch God work, but we learned all the reasons why he didn't. It's the weirdest thing. We had proof texts for why God didn't work anymore. And I was so disappointed, because I wanted to see him work. I just wanted to see him do things. And what we were doing on our own, it just didn't feel quite right. And then I don't know how he started doing it, but he started doing things. The first church that I preached at had 8 people. And then the second church was where Mary and I were converted in Quincy, Illinois. And it was just so exciting. And I just wanted to see God work. But I got to tell you, I didn't know anything. And now that I'm 67, I've been preaching for 37 and a half years at one church. I know less now than I knew when I started, because God keeps getting bigger. And don't you love that? I mean, don't you love that? So we're in Quincy, Illinois, and we got these new neighbors move in, Robin, Ellen, Pine, and so, you know, right away we go, hey, I want to get them to come to church. And I didn't know how to do it. And so I went out and I thought, what would they need? I drove by their house one day and the garage door was up. The car wasn't in the garage. And so I went down the street, bought 5 pounds of potatoes, pulled right into the garage, got out, knocked on the door, said, hey, your neighbor's across the street. I preach over here. And I just wanted to welcome you to town. Goodbye. And that was it. But could I have that slide of Rob Pine? Or could I not have the slide of Rob Pine? When Dusty preached, everything went so well. Well, I've got this slide of Rob Pine. It's a secret. Rob and Ellen are sitting here tonight, converted to walk with God. Rob is the CEO of Kids Works in Dallas. Fascinating work, blessing children. The picture that you're not going to get to see is him. Dusty, why didn't it happen to you? The picture you're not going to get to see is of him surrounded by little children over in Ghana, where he's helping minister over there. That all started for my part with them, with a 5-pound bag of potatoes, and I didn't know what else to say. Didn't know what else to say. Then there's the story of Linda Dickerson. Would we also not have that picture? Linda Dickerson, this is a fascinating not picture. We got it? See what I caused? I did that. Linda Dickerson, before she was married, went by the name Linda Lawton, lived in Lubbock. She was a student nurse in Lubbock. I got a letter from her. I don't know if it was the late 70s or what, early 80s. And she said, Mr. Rush, I want to tell you this story. I went into the library to finish to get some materials for my finals in nursing school, and I saw a book you had written, and it was such a fascinating title, I wrote it down. When I finished with the school, I went over to the library to check that book out, and they didn't have the book. And they told me that they'd never had it. And they looked and they said, but we can get this rigging out of Memphis, Tennessee, if you would like. And she said, I would like. And she said, I want you to know that I read the book. I went down to the local Church of Christ. I walked in and I studied with the minister there, and I was just baptized, and I wanted to tell you. I didn't know any of my books were out except the ones my mom had. But that slide, can we see that slide again? That slide, I want to show you this about Linda, in that she and her husband are standing there. She sent me this note the other day, and she said, we are in South Korea, and this is a package of Bibles and Bible material that we are sending over the border into North Korea. Is that fascinating? Isn't that just amazing? I just love that. I just love that. So I came to town to tell you that faith works. That because God works, not because we do. And I want us to be able to come to cut loose with trying with just simply trying. And James, when he's talking about how that it isn't a matter of forgetful doers, but we're effectual workers. We're not. Excuse me, just a minute, Terry. That's not right. Oh yes, it was that we're not the just listening, but we're doing. And he said, I want you to be effective doers. And one of the challenges in the church today is that we be doing the things that are effective, that we be moving in directions that's got to be thinking about how the world is now and how it's going to respond. And it will be faith works that does it. I love sowing seed. So do you. And I want to encourage you that it isn't because Rick Ashley does it that it works for Rick, or Randy Harris does it works for Randy, or Don McLaughlin works for Don. No, it's because of you. It's because of us that we are the people that we say to him, we believe that you can do, that you can make all things beautiful. We believe that you can provide for us in ways that we cannot understand, because faith works. It just does. I ask our church, because I go to these baseball camps once a year with the St. Louis Cardinal old timers. And I came back from camp one year and I said to them, would you pray, church, would you pray that we could get a book into Busch Stadium? Because I'm just magnificently obsessed with wanting to reach that world. I love the idea. I imagine, I dream about it. I think about reaching people all the time. And so I said, church, would you pray that we could get a book into Busch Stadium that would talk about God? And that year, the broadcaster, 47 years for the St. Louis Cardinals, he passed away. His name is Jack Buck. And his widow called me 2 months later and she said, would you write a book about my husband? And I was honored to do it. And so I wrote the book, The Voice of Silver, The Heart of Gold. And if you've got that slide, guys, if we could show that one. But The Voice of Silver, The Heart of Gold, the Cardinals bought the book. And they gave it away on Fan Appreciation Day. And what you're looking at in this slide here is Mrs. Buck and me on the radio with Mike Shannon during a Cardinal game, and all those fans in the stands are holding my book. I want to tell you, it's too exciting to be in the kingdom and watch God to work, because faith really works. And what I want you to get is we are empty-handed. We have nothing but the faith in our hearts. We have no way to manipulate that and to create. We have no way to do it except that God would do that. Now then, could you show this slide of this bubblegum card? Because this is way cool. I've got the best business card in the world. It is a picture of me in my St. Louis Cardinal uniform. And it is worth, look at that. I said, look at it. Don't laugh at it. I said, you know, could y'all quit? I realized one day I was sitting on a gold mine of insults. Look at that. Terry, don't quit your Sunday job. Kurt Flood, he was my childhood hero, and we became dear friends, and I spoke at his funeral along with Jesse Jackson and George Will and others, but don't quit your Sunday job. Thank you, Kurt. Bob Gibson, Terry gets worse every year. Thank you, Bob. Al Roboski, Terry is absolutely the worst ball player I ever saw in my life. That's exciting. But let me tell you about that card. You know what I like about that card? What I like about that card, of course, I love these guys, and they're very nice to me. But what I like about the card is the email address on the back. And here's why. I got on the plane. It was just Wednesday, Tuesday. Got on the plane to come out here. I flew from Southwest down to Love Field, and we're boarding again on Love Field and getting ready to come out here. And so I just am watching all the time. I will knock on doors to see if they just open. I just love it. I love it because God does stuff. So Tim, my youngest son, is here. He was with me, and we were changing over to the planes in Dallas. I said some things to the stewardess, and then I sat down, and he came in behind me, and he sat down, and he leaned over, and he said, "Hey, what did you say to that stewardess?" I said to her, "Hey, I want you to know something. I am extremely important." And then I said, "But I don't want you to tell anyone on this plane because I don't want them to feel badly." She said, "Gotcha." Now, here's a thing that happened that I hadn't counted on, and it's what I mean about just going with the flow of the Spirit of God. I hadn't counted on this, never even gave it a thought. I'm sitting on the aisle, and a bunch of you start getting on the same plane, and you stop by, "Oh, Terry, how are you?" And you hug me, and you're throwing flowers to me. I never thought a thing about it, Mike. I just never thought. I was happy to see the three of you. So about an hour and a half later, Tim goes down the aisle back to the restroom, and he comes back, and he said, "Dad, the stewardess wants to know, who are you?" She said to me, "Is he somebody famous?" And I said, "What did you say?" He said, "Really? So then I needed to go to the restroom about 25 minutes later, and I made my way down to the back and everything, and here are the two stewardesses back there. One of them is seated, the one who inquired about how famous I was, and then the other one was standing on the other way making some coffee or something. And so I said to the one seat, I said, "You mind if I sit beside you? It's that little jump seat thing." She said, "Sure." So I sat down. Now, I don't know that she's knowing that I'm famous yet. And I said to her, "Hey, I want to give you something. I want to give you my card, because on the back of it right here is my email address, and I want to tell you something. When you get discouraged or you get depressed or you're having a really bad day, I want you to email me and tell me, because I'm a minister and I am crazy about people. And I want you to let me know whenever it is. You don't lose this card. You let me know and I will pray for you." And she said, "Could you pray for me right now?" She said, "Would you pray for me?" And I said, "Do you mean now?" She said, "Yes." Well, I hadn't counted on that. It's Tuesday. All right. So I sat there with her, and I'm just praying with her. I just don't know how God does that stuff. And you don't know how He does it in your life. And I want to encourage you to become an effectual doer. I think the main thing out of this text that I want you to get tonight is try. Try. Don't be psyched out by the things that you think won't work, because I find it fun in the kingdom to just be there and watch what opens up and watch happens. So I got done praying with Irma, was her name. And I stood up and turned, and here's the other one. And she's standing right here. And I'd given her a card, and she said, "Okay, my turn. Would you pray for me?" And I said, "Sure. What is your name?" She said, "Jill." And so we stood there and prayed. Went back to my seat. Tim's over by the window. A man is here. And I sat down, and I just wept. I just wept. How does he be so magnificent and we get to be obsessed with it? We'll never figure it. We just walk in and do it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's one of my favorite places in all of the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no, for the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us and by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him." And I'm telling you, I don't know how badly you needed to know that, but I needed to learn from God that everything's a yes. Everything's a yes. It doesn't mean you follow God and everything works out. It means that you follow God and even the things that don't work out are working out. Isn't that good? Yes, that's really good. I am good tonight. Yes, this is going good. It hurt my heart to find out that I was nothing. I was nothing. I was always planning in life to be something. But God uses brokenness. He uses nobodies, the Word of God says. He uses chiefest of sinners. Life sometimes is embarrassing, but it's just full of God. I was watching the Cardinal game last week when the Cardinals were playing the Brewers. I was watching one of the games, and they started talking about me. And that's not unusual. I've heard them talk about me before, but thankful they left my name out. They just told the story. And they were telling about, they said, because something happened funny in the game, and they said, you know, this makes us think of this camper that we have. One day they decided that maybe they'd let him pitch. And he threw the ball so slowly that the batter snagged the ball and threw it back to him. It was so embarrassing when it happened. I'm in my uniform looking good and fire that thing in there and it goes... And he goes, it's not right. Things that go wrong, they're just amazing. I want to encourage you about that. Yes, you got things that go right and you got things that don't go right. And both of them are fascinating because we are magnificently obsessed with the things of God. Jesus was going right when he was healing people. And for Jesus, life was going right when he was on the cross. And for Jesus, things were going right when they executed him. And for Jesus, things were going right when the grave was emptied. Because it's all the scenario of the story of watching God. I remember as a kid, many of you are old enough to know this. Do any of you remember, you know, today we have Bengay or whatever it is that for sore muscles. They had a thing called Minute Rub. And same stuff. Well, when I'm like in fifth grade, Mike, I go in one morning and I'm not paying attention and I am brushing my teeth. I want to tell you something. I saw my eyeballs meet my eyeballs. It was, whoa, I saw it to where I've never forgotten it. But let me tell you the yes in it. I had the freshest breath that day I have ever had. It didn't matter if I had onions, if I had garlic. Everything works. You should have invited me years ago. I'm so sorry. My boys are dying over here. Somebody get Dad off the stage. But that's the next thing I want to talk to you about. I want to encourage you to imagine God. I want to encourage you to do more than just let life take its course. I want you to plant seeds for God. I got to tell you, I was pretty excited this morning to hear my boy. When they were in grade school, we lived adjacent to the building across the parking lot. And when they were in grade school, I said, boys, I want you to work on learning to preach. And here's what I want you to do. And I would tell them how I want them to, to look at a text, and I want you to explain the text. I want you to illustrate it, and I want you to do a 3-minute sermon. We're going to do it on this certain night, on this Tuesday night. We're going to go over to the building, and we're going to turn the lights on. I want you to stand in the pulpit. And we did. Because I thought that God might want them to preach, but I would never tell them that I thought they should. I just wanted them to be ready in case they wanted to. And I sat there today, so thrilled. Dusty was. And Tim's just as good. He did a class at the Tulsa Workshop in March, and man, it was one of the best. I just love watching God do stuff that he does. And so much goes on because we believe it. We believe it into existence because he asks us to think that he can do things. I want to look at this passage at James one more time. In James 1:25, it says that, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty. I just want to encourage you. One of the things we really need in the church, in order, it doesn't matter where the culture is right now, we just need us. We need us to live in the law of liberty, where we're free to try, where we're free to imagine, where we're free to think. What is it that he would do? What would he say? How would he work this? Not nervous about will it work or will it not, because we've already done many things that didn't work, but we tried and we're going to do it again. And some of them will work and some of them won't. But we're going to do it, and we're not going to give up, people. We are not going to shut down, but we're going to gain momentum. You know, one of the things that I think that all of us talk about as leaders is, what are we going to do about the younger generation? But do you know something I'm really excited about? While we're trying to figure out what to do with the younger generation, we got the old generation moving along for God. So, don't be discouraged when things don't work out. Be encouraged that God has something else going on. We've got this little homeless man just on the way when I leave the house and pull out on the 21st Street and I head toward the office. We've got the sweetest little homeless man. He walks, he's got a beard way down here, gray. I really think he's younger than I am. And he walks like this. He sits on a concrete slab every day, and he just sits. And he just sits. I've named him Ralph. I love him. And I want to see him blessed, and I don't know how to do it. I saw him one morning a couple of weeks ago, and I went past him. And I turned the car around and I went back a block away to Einstein's Bagel. I went in and I said, I need a coffee and a cinnamon roll. And I got it in a little sack. And so I pulled back out on 21st and go, and Ralph's gone. Well, now then, I've got this coffee and this bagel. So I thought to myself, okay, God, what would you do with this? So I'm driving along watching, and I'm passing by Lowe's Lumberyard, and so I just pulled in there, and I walked in with the coffee and the cinnamon roll, and I walked up to this lady who is a cashier, and her manager is standing there, and I said to her, excuse me, ma'am, you are employee of the day. I said, you really do a good job. I go to Lowe's all the time. My maiden name was Lowe. And so I knew her. And I said, you do a great job, and I want you to have this. You are employee of the day. I've established that. And her boss standing there, he said, you know, she really is. does a good job. I go, way to go. So 3 days later, I'm driving to work, 6:30 in the morning. Here sits Ralph. And I go, Ralph, you better not move this time. I turn the car around after I get down about a block and a half. I turn around and go back to Einstein Bagel. I said, I need another coffee and another cinnamon roll. I got it. I got in the car, drove back, and there's Ralph sitting there waiting on me. And so I pull up in the drive in the parking lot there, and I get out. I walk down there, and I say, hey, sir, I really like you. And I've wondered if you needed some coffee and a cinnamon roll, and I'd like for you to have it. I brought it for you. And he said, no, thank you. I said, wouldn't you want something to eat or drink, something warm, coffee? No, thank you. I said, okay. You have a good day, Ralph. I want you to know something. I really love you, okay? Very kind eyes. So I get back in the car. Now I've got this coffee and this cinnamon roll. And I thought, what am I going to do? How slow am I? Lowe's. And so I go to Lowe's and I find another person at the cash register. And I said to her, hey, what's your name? She said, Patty. I said, Patty, you are employee of the day, believe me. Really? I said, yes. So I gave it to her. Tried to bless Ralph two times. Couldn't, but I blessed two of the employees because, you see, God just has this yes thing going that I want you to see. That law of liberty doesn't shut us down. Doesn't shut us down at all. I've got these neighbor men. I pray in a four-block span. We've lived there 3 years. I've got 48 neighbors that I pray for every night. I pray for them by name. The two guys that are partners live across the street, and our interaction isn't a lot, and anytime I try to reach to them, there's just nothing, no response there. That's okay. So I went to Lowe's the other day, Monday, and I bought $60 worth of flowers, and I went over in their front yard, and I planted them. And guess what? They like them. And guess what? I think I'm the only neighbor that's planted flowers for those two guys. I'm saying I want to learn from God how to bless them. Now, I want to show you one last thing about the magnificent obsession. If we could see that slide, guys, it would be helpful right at this point. The magnificence that I want you to see is that that's who we are. We follow God. We follow Him. And I'm telling you, it's just outstanding that we do. But I want you to know that I know that obsession is misspelt. And see, a bunch of you knew that, and you quit listening at the first time you saw it. Don McLaughlin just leaned over to his wife and said, I thought so. I thought there was a C in that thing somewhere. I want to encourage you, my friend. You're worth more than you can imagine. With all of your expertise and with all of your frailties, with all of your wonder and with all of your doubts, I'm telling you, you're fascinating. And I want to encourage you to let God turn you loose on your community. I want to encourage you to let God turn you loose where you work. Where you don't have this great passage to spout, but you carry in a cup of coffee and say, I noticed that you've been kind of discouraged lately. Could I pray for you sometime? And if you ever need somebody to pray, you use this right here and you get a hold of me. We just keep moving through, people. Don't you love right now? It's just so exciting because we want to develop hearts like His. We want to give Him our hearts.